In the name of the one true living God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. Death has been conquered. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, the New Testament church began worship on Sundays, the first day of the week, which became the new Sabbath upon Jesus' resurrection. Every Sunday, we too celebrate Christ's resurrection. As the new Adam, Jesus conquered his and our last enemy, death itself, by his resurrection. Before that, he had already conquered sin, the hostile spirit of the world, and his and our arch enemy, Satan himself. On the cross, Jesus completed his victorious redemptive work for the new humanity. He did so by his death. He came to die. Without his death, there would not have been a resurrection to celebrate. Yes, Jesus came to our world to die. Let us listen attentively to God's word from the 15th chapter of the book of Mark, verses 33 to 39. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "Behold, he's calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." God's word. Brothers and sisters, the sixth hour was midday, yet we are told that there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. At midday, miraculously, for 3 hours, darkness covered the whole land as Jesus was hanging on the cross. Obviously, this was a sign of the impact of this event on the entire fallen and corrupt world, especially the earthly Jerusalem that rejected him. Stirred up by the city's leaders and the temple's priesthood, the crowds demanded Jesus' crucifixion. The head of the Roman authority, Pilate, carefully investigated. He concluded that Jesus was not guilty of anything. Yet the crowd insisted that a criminal be released and Jesus receive the death penalty. They shouted, "His blood be on us and on our children." Jesus was stripped of his clothes, hit on the head, spat on, beaten, and flogged. The Roman soldiers put a crown of thorns on his head and mocked him, saying, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." To all of this, he said nothing. 700 years before that, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah had predicted it all, saying, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that's led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Brothers and sisters, it was not the physical pain nor the social humiliation to which Jesus reacted. Such sufferings have been experienced by others. Jesus expressed something that only he, as the eternal Son of God, could experience, agonizing in his very soul. In the words of the Gospel, "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lima sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?'" These words were predicted hundreds of years earlier about the Messiah by David in his 22nd Psalm. They are specifically addressed to the awesome Holy Council of the Triune God. Words of spiritual agony. On the cross, Jesus voluntarily accepted to take the place of sinners. He became the Lamb of God, taking on himself the sin of the world. Also, the prophet Isaiah expressed the need for our Savior's work on our behalf, saying in his 59th chapter, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, or his ear dull, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear." On the cross, Jesus accepted to become sin for us. He accepted to take on himself the punishment due to our own sin. This temporarily caused that separation and abandonment. Jesus knew that all along. He was not complaining about physical torture at the hands of ungodly people when he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Not at all. Rather, he was announcing the reality of the exchange that was taking place on the cross. He took our place to secure for us release from the burden and the punishment of our own sin, the sin that separated us from divine holiness became his. Brothers and sisters, Jesus came to do exactly that. The wages of sin is death. It was impossible for the holy, sinless Christ to die without taking on himself the heavy burden of our sin. He came to die our death. Yes, and he did this voluntarily. The 10th chapter of the Gospel of John records Jesus' words foretelling his death on our behalf, saying, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." Yes, Jesus chose to take our place on the cross and experience the separation from divine holiness. The Gospel tells us that Jesus said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Yes, the work was completed. The sinlessness and divine glory of Jesus were clear even as he died for sinners on the cross. The Gospel of Mark reports, "And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.'" Brothers and sisters, this is the decisive reason for Jesus' resurrection. Jesus' sinless soul remained unblemished even on the cross as he took our sin on himself. The Apostle Peter proclaimed this in his historic sermon initiating the New Testament church on the day of Pentecost, saying, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it is not possible for him to be held by it. David foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Christ is risen. Death has been conquered. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.